Well, given that it is Anniversary Sunday, the anniversary of our church here, I thought I would take the opportunity to talk about what it means to be a member of this church. And when I say member of this church, I don't just mean, you know, somebody who comes often and takes part. What I mean is being a formal member of a church. When I was a kid, I know that we had church membership at our little United Church, but I kind of had the impression that it was just for, like, how much fees you had to pay to the denomination. So I'm pretty sure I said to my mom, you don't have to pay for me, I'm not a member. you know, being a church member is more than that. It is about belonging to and participating in the life of Christ with others together. In the past, we have used Tom Rainer's I Am a Church Member as our membership curriculum here. And it's a good and helpful book. In my mind, I think he overemphasizes a couple of things and kind of leaves out a couple of others. And so with the board's permission, I drew up our own membership curriculum here. And you got them on Friday in the Friday email. And there are some hard copies at the back there as well. Nice little booklets there. So when we think about church membership, it really boils down to four ideas that you can put into one sentence. This is what I want to unpack with you here today. A church member is a follower of Jesus who is actively following Jesus in a church community that is doing the work of the gospel together. That's church membership. A church member is a follower of Jesus who is actively following Jesus in a community of faith, a church, that is doing the work of the gospel. So these are the ideas that I want to unpack with you today. The main passages that we're going to look with are listed in your bulletin there. So if you want to be following along with me, you can. But let's jump right in. And first, we need to talk about this. A church member is a follower of Jesus. There's really only one qualification for people who would be a church member. And it's an important one. It's not how often they come. It's not how big their donation check is. The thing that is a requirement for every church member is to be a follower of Jesus, a person who has responded to the grace of God through faith. Ephesians 2 helps us to think about that. So if you want to join me in Ephesians 2, you'll be able to see what I'm saying here. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1. So Ephesians 2, in verse 1, Paul is describing what people are like without God. He is describing what we were like before we knew God and walked with him. And this is what he says. Ephesians 2, 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were objects, by nature, objects of wrath. This is humanity without God. We followed the ways of the world. We did the things that we wanted to do, did whatever we felt like. We gratified the cravings of the sinful nature and did whatever we desired. We thought, people without God think that they are living the life and in complete freedom because they are making their own choices and decisions. And yet in reality, we were dead in sin, stuck, separated from our Creator, who could really, by all rights, wipe us out. And yet, verse 4, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. I love how Paul says this. When we were following the ways of the world, when we were dead in sin, when we were in open rebellion against God, God acted to redeem us. And I love how he says it. Because of his great love for us, God, in his great mercy. The NIV translates it, and it's like God sits right in the middle of these two powerful phrases about who God is. And if you have a different translation, you might actually have God at the beginning of the sentence, which is actually more accurate to Greek. And Paul essentially says, but God, who is rich in mercy, and because of his great love for us, he did these things. We were dead in sin, but God loved us so much that even when we were dead in sins, even when we were separated from him, he didn't wait for us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. He made us alive with Christ through what Jesus did. And then he says, it's all by grace through faith. And lest we miss that Paul is, that God is the one doing the work here, Paul is going to say it again. Verse 5, God made us alive. It is by grace you have been saved. Verse 8, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, but this is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. I think Paul wants us to get this, right? That it is all God who has done this redeeming work on our behalf. Without God, we are separated from him. We would have no place in his kingdom, let alone in his church. But God is so full of mercy, so compelled by his love for us, that he freely redeemed us, he freely restored us to himself, if only we would receive that grace by faith. How do we do that? Well, a part of it is faith, right? Is believing what God says about us, that we were dead in sin, that we did follow our own sinful natures, and that God, who is rich in mercy and full of steadfast love, redeemed us. So part of it is that faith part, but the other part is applying that faith in all the parts of our life. And here we go over to the Gospels, Matthew 16:24. Matthew 16:24 is a passage that we've thought about in the past. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Well, hold on, Graham, didn't you just say that salvation is by faith? What is this about denying yourself and taking up your cross and following him? Well, here's the thing. What Jesus is describing here is not earning salvation. It's applying salvation that's already been given. Okay? Here's how this works. Ephesians 2 happens. God extends his grace to us. We take hold of it by faith. Then we deny ourselves the old sinful passions of the way that we used to live when we were following the ways of the world. We take up the cross. That is, we identify with Jesus and make this the central fact of our life. And then we walk with him. Right? So deny yourself, take up your cross, and walk with Jesus is not how you earn salvation. It's how you respond to salvation that has already been given. We receive God's grace by faith, and then we apply it to all parts of our lives, so that we don't live the way that we used to, but as redeemed children. So, church members are redeemed people, Jesus' brothers and sisters, people who have experienced the grace of God for themselves. They bring a sense of humility and forgiveness to church life. To be a church member, then, you need to be a believing follower of Jesus. However, in the past, I think that there are some wings of Christianity that have been a little too fast and loose with that grace. Like, they've kind of had the sense of, well, if it doesn't matter what you do and God does all the saving, then, you know, say the sinner's prayer, say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and then you're all good. You get to go to heaven no matter what. A Christian is not just that, a Christian who is actively applying that salvation in all of life. A church member is a follower of Jesus who is actively following Jesus. Have you ever signed up for a gym membership or something like that and then thought, oh man, like a couple of weeks and I'll be ready to show off my beach bod before you know it? I'll get my workout on and I'll be a hunk before you know it. Right, hon? But then you get home from work and you're tired and you just kind of want to put your jogging pants on, but not for jogging. Right? You are technically a member of that gym. You've paid your fees. You've got your name on the list. But are you going to see any benefit from it? No. You need to put in the work. You need to be active about it. And that's just as true for Christians as it is for gym members. Being a Christian is not having your salvation ticket punched. It is sort of that, but also living in light of it, living out that salvation life every step of the way. A church member needs to be actively following Jesus in order to be effective. We saw this a couple of weeks ago, remember? 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1:3, Peter says to us, you have everything you need. God has given you everything that you need to live a holy and godly life. And so he says, verse 5, for this very reason, because God has given you everything you need to succeed, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance brotherly godliness, and brotherly kindness, and love. Peter says, if you are a follower of Jesus, actively invest in your faith. Cultivate that faith so that it becomes character in the way that you live. And then verse 8, he says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being unfruitful and ineffective as a follower of Jesus. Flip that around and it says this, if you are possessing these qualities in increasing measure, then you will be effective and productive in your faith. And that's what we want, right? As members of Jesus' church, we want to be actively following Jesus in daily life. In fact, I am absolutely convinced that this is how this church grows. Each and every one of us is spending time in prayer, reading the Bible together, listening to what it is God is calling us to, responding to that in obedience in our daily lives, putting that into action, and then doing that together so that we see God build the church from the bottom up. A church member then is a follower of Jesus who is actively following Jesus in the context of community. Again, when I was younger, I really thought that I could be, sort of a lone wolf Christian. I didn't need anybody else. I didn't need their drama. Me and Jesus, right? You don't get between me and my Lord. That was so wrong. It was sort of like trying to be a soccer team with one player. Like it doesn't work that way. In reality, I was missing out on one of the most important parts of discipleship and sanctification that God has put before us as believers. I needed people to help me, right? Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one believer sharpens another. I thought I was good on my own, but in reality, I needed other Christians to support me and to strengthen me. I needed other Christians to call me on my garbage and to say, whoa, hold on with that theological perspective. That's a little off there, Graham. This is how God intended it to work. He didn't just save us out of sin. He saved us into a community of faith that would support each other as they walk in the light of God, avoiding that old way of being. So a church member is a follower of Jesus who is actively following Jesus in a church community, which means a few things. First, we make coming to church a priority. Because it's not just what I say on a Sunday morning that's helpful to you. It's those intangible, unplanned interactions that you have with people that sharpen your faith, that strengthen each other. You hear what's going on in another person's life and how God is helping them in it, or you pray for them, and that builds you up. I have to admit that, if I think back 20 years ago to when I was in France, I went to an English-speaking church in France for, 3 months. I don't know if I'm ashamed to say, or if this is just what should be expected. I don't remember a single message that pastor preached in France. but I remember every single act of kindness that people in that church showed to me. I couldn't tell you necessarily what the preacher said, but I experienced the love and grace and strength of God in the way that people in the pews prayed for me or supported me or gave me a place to live for 2 weeks for free. You know, church members support each other in those kinds of ways. Second, we have a role to play. So come to church too. And we have a role to play in this community. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. Again and again, Paul says, you have a part here. All of us have a part here. You've got a role to play. You've got gifts to play. It's important for you to be able to use all of these gifts. Maybe you're an encourager. Maybe you are good at organization. Maybe you're a good speaker. Maybe you're a good helper. You're a behind-the-scenes kind of person. Whatever it is, all of you have been given gifts to be able to use to build one another up for the benefit of the church. I remember way back 8 years ago, I don't know if Everett or Joyce, so you'll remember this, in my epic 4-hour interview here, I remember saying at one point, making a joke about holding up a sign like this and saying, do you remember me saying this, Joyce? No. Yeah. Do you get it? No loafers. But you get the point, right? We have a part to play. We don't want loafers at church. I don't care what you put on your feet, but I want you to contribute in what you are doing in your work here. Third, we make Jesus' example of humility the guiding principle for our community. Right? I mean, look around at each other. We come from all different places. We come from different jobs and professions and parts of town. We come from all different walks of life. In theory, we would not gather together as a group of people. In theory, we wouldn't even work as a group of people. But it does, because we are all committed to living the way that Jesus did, which you see in Philippians 2. Philippians 2:5, Paul says, listen, let this be your attitude, the same as Jesus Christ, who was in very nature God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even obedient to death on a cross. Jesus did that for us, acted in that kind of humble way, and so that becomes the guiding principle for each of us as followers of Jesus, as we follow in the community. That means we look not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. We make some sacrifices in terms of our preferences for music or decor or whatever, knowing that that is going to build up other people in the church with the understanding that they're going to be doing the same for us as well. We treat one another in church community with the same humility and self-sacrificing love that Jesus showed to us on the cross. So, can you say it with me? A church follower, a church member is a follower of Jesus who is what? Actively following Jesus in a church community. Good. The fourth part, a church member is a follower of Jesus, actively following Jesus in church community that is doing the work of the gospel. This, I think, is somewhere that some churches stumble, right? They're following Jesus. They gather for church on Sunday morning, and yet they're not really doing anything to advance the kingdom of God. Right? They have intentionally or not turned church into a social gathering, into a nice opportunity to gather with people who are like them and their friends. I remember as a I remember some years ago having a conversation with somebody that I grew up with, and she said, I would really love for my kids to have a nice community like the church to grow up in, but I don't really care about any of the spiritual stuff. I agree that church is a lovely place for children to grow up in. Oh, that more people would have that kind of attitude. But if you take the spiritual part out of the church, then you have nothing. Then you have just a community group. And community groups are fine. Community groups are good. They do good and important work in the community. But Rotary isn't going to take the message of sin and forgiveness into the world. 4-H is not going to share the gospel, nor should they. That's our job. The church uniquely has been given the responsibility of going out into the world to free people from the shackles of sin and to give people a chance to experience the love of God for themselves. That's what Jesus said when he went back into heaven. He's like, church, you have one job. Go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and know that I am with you until the end of the age. That's job number one for us as a church. Help people to know Jesus, to grow in his relation, in their relationship with him, to go out into the world and let people know about who he is. You know, a church member will always be thinking, okay, what are we doing as a church? What are we already doing? And how can we use that to accomplish that goal of making disciples of all the nations? What is it that we are doing as a church? And are we doing it in a way that sets us apart from any other secular organization? You know, we may not be a big church, but we can be, we can have a big impact when we keep Jesus front and center in our mission. So, a church member is a follower of Jesus, who is actively following Jesus in a church community that is doing the work of the gospel. So, church member. Let's just think about this real quick in practical terms. First, if you are a church member, are you a follower of Jesus, right? Have you turned from grace turn from grace? Please don't turn from grace. Please to turn from sin, receive the grace of God and believe. If you are already a church member with whom I have talked or with whom George has talked or with whom John has talked, or someone before even, then I assume that that's true, that you are a follower of Jesus. So next question, are you actively following Jesus? Are you intentional about your growth as a believer, not just coming to church on a Sunday morning, but investing in your faith and growing it day after day? Third, if you are a church member, are you following Jesus in a community of faith? Right? Is church a priority? Are you looking for ways to serve and to pray for other members of the community? You know, I think it would be great. Oftentimes on Saturday night, I'll pray with the kids, you know, help us prepare our hearts and be ready to learn from you tomorrow at church. It strikes me that I should really be praying too, Lord, help me to be a blessing to people who are at church tomorrow, right? Not just, Lord, bless me, but help me to be a blessing to others as well. And finally, as church members, are we thinking about how we can leverage what we do for the benefit of the gospel? Are we intentionally communicating the love of God and the grace of God through the activities that we do at the church? It's good questions to ask. A church member is a follower of Jesus who is actively following Jesus in the church community, doing the work of the gospel together. As we wrap this up, I think it's important to come back to the truth upon which all of this is built, that makes us church members in the first place. None of us would be here. All of this would be moot unless Jesus laid down his life to redeem his sheep. And he did. So we are here this morning to celebrate Jesus' sacrifice that saved each of us individually from sin and brought us into this community of faith so that we would grow together as we follow him together. So let's take a minute now to prepare our hearts as we come to the table. Shelley, will you come play? Thank you.